that we have in Jesus Christ. This verse, James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variance, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 68 and 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Can y'all say amen to that? And it comes to my mind, the old song, count your many blessings and name them one by one. I said, if anybody ought to be blessed, and you know, and I realize we're blessed, and that is us, and we ought to count our blessings one by one. I never have done that. If you ever wrote that down, wrote your blessings down every day, it'd take a lot of sheets of paper to name all your blessings, wouldn't it? But to realize it, count your blessings and name them one by one. And then that other old song we sing so much, Brother Orville, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know, I have roof over my head, table, food on the table, shoes on my feet, and a fine family. And as I said, we call out a lot of these names and condition a lot of people's in. And we already understand the blessings that God blessed us today with and how rich we are with all these different blessings. And if we're saved, Pleasant Hill, here tonight, and I hope that everybody is, we among the rich and the famous. You may not be very famous, but you're rich. I can tell you that. You are rich in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul describes these riches really in the realm of the matter. And verse 3 to verse 14 is one sentence in the Hebrew language. In fact, it is the longest sentence in the New Testament, because when Paul starts off in verse 3, he keeps on praising and praising and praising. It seemed like sometime he couldn't find a place to stop at, so he went all the way down to verse 14 before he took a breath and stopped praising the Lord in these verses. The key to that fountain of river that it's divine blessings, it flows and never runs dry. That word blessed is a very beautiful word. Eulogy. Times a lot of people is at funerals, they say a lot of good and pleasant things about the person, and that's what he's doing about God and Jesus Christ. Our riches really originated in heaven, Paul says. In Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God is very rich. And in the same chapter, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin according to his riches of his grace. So we see we have forgiveness, we have mercy, we have grace. That's rich. Did y'all know that? And then Ephesians 3 and 16, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You see, the riches of mercy and grace. And Paul was preaching about the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. You know, it's so easy to preach about Jesus Christ and unsearchable riches, because no one can really search all the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. It's a well that cannot run dry. See, I remember whenever I was a young boy, there was a lot of people that had wells at their homes, and a lot of times their wells with an old bucket, you know, they'd draw up their water, but a lot of times their old well wouldn't run dry. And the old saying was, you don't miss the water till your well run dry. Well, people would haul water. And I tell you, you don't know how much water. Could you imagine if you had to just haul the water that you use one day? You would be surprised at the water that you use in one day. And our well never run dry at our home, proud of that. But we did have to haul water for the cows and the horses and the hogs and all. And they can drink a lot of water. But it says, you know, we got a well that cannot run dry in Jesus Christ. An ocean of the depth, no one can really go to the bottom and find out the depth of our resources. Today, our United States and the world today, we talk about recession. Or either depression, and our country's been in both of those. I do not remember the Great Depression, but it's been in two several recessions. But you see, I tell you how rich you are. And you know what? More than likely, we're going to go back into a deep recession in our country, according to the book of Revelations. But you know, there is no recession or depression in heaven. And that's where you are. Verse 3 again, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Not going to bless us, not peace by and by. One day he's going to bless us. That verse of scripture says he has blessed us. Just count them. He has already. A lot of times a different denomination asks me, do you believe in the second blessing? And I always answer them, yeah, I believe in the second blessing, the third blessing, the fourth blessing, the fifth blessing, the thousandth blessing, right on and right on, because I get blessed all the time of the blessings that God gives me. And these great blessings are mostly in spiritual in nature, because the physical blessing is going to pass away. Y'all know that, don't you? So the great blessing is spiritual in nature. Our greatest need is not in these physical bodies. Our greatest need is spiritual in nature. For instance, the greatest thing you need and I need is forgiveness of our sin. That is in the spiritual realm. Thank you, Lord. Another thing we need is peace. That is a great spiritual blessing. Peace in heavenly places. It says we have all these in heavenly places. If you have that and you see in that heavenly places there in verse 3, if you have a King James Version, and I highly recommend them, you see that word is in italics, places. It's in italics. What does that mean? It tells you in the King James, and it's only this version that does this. The rest of them puts it in there, they don't tell you. But this has been added by the interpreters when they put this in our English language. This was not the word in the original script, the scrolls that was interpreted by. You see it all through the King James. Those words in italics have been added to smooth out the sentence. A lot of times you just need to read that without adding that word. Like it says, have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ. Sometimes it helps you to understand that. But he tells us exactly in the King James why that it's took out, because it levels it out. It's in italic. It shows you it's not in the original Word of God. And by the way, did y'all know all the other translations are copyrighted? You know, you can't take one of these translations, go to a copy machine and copy a page of Scripture and give somebody without breaking the law. Did y'all know that? Because it's copyrighted. This is the only translation that's not copyrighted. The old King James. Just thought I'd add that in there. That's not in my notes. But as we read this verse 3, heavenly places. And as you think about this, heavenly places in heavenly, the phrase here is only mentioned in the book of Ephesians. It's only mentioned in the book of Ephesians. Said about heavenly Father throughout the Scriptures, heavenly kingdom, heavenly calling, heavenly gift, heavenly Jerusalem, on and on, many, many times. But it's the only place in the book of Ephesians that it's mentioned here. In the heavensly. Only place in the heaven. And it's mentioned five times in this little short book. Well, what does this mean? Well, you and I can live our life at two atmospheres. Earthly are heavenly. John 3:12, Jesus Christ is trying to bring a contrast when he says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He draws a contrast there. Now, lost people don't have this, but you and I do. We can live in two different places, but they have an atmosphere only. They lost the earthly. Earthly environments, earthly atmosphere, that's the only thing they know. Paul says the heavenly realms. He began to tell us about the heavenly realms that you and I are living in. And most likely, I might even go to this Sunday morning as God keeps on dealing with me, because there's a lot in this verse of Scripture. As y'all know, I've been 2 weeks, and I don't think I'm going to get too far even tonight. But old Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 3, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. It sounds like he's talking about somebody else, but he's talking about himself. Such as one caught up to the third heavens. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise, same thing as the third heaven, paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul talking now about the third heaven. Now, if there's a third heaven, there must be first and second heaven. Don't that make sense to you? If there's a third heaven, there'll be a first and a second heaven. Now, when I was thinking about this, I remember back what my grandmother told me. Years ago, when I was in school, and they would send these Sputniks up. Y'all remember when they sent the Sputniks up and those satellites up, and they was trying to reach the moon. They're going to the moon. And I said, Grandmother, she lived with us. I said, they're gonna send a man on the moon. They're gonna send a rocket to the moon. She said, no, son. Come here, let me show you. And she'd go get her Bible, and she showed me that the moon's in heaven. She said, now you know good well that nobody in their body is going to heaven. Well, it sound reasonable to me. I said, yeah, that's right. I mean, she sounded like she was wise to me. There's nobody can go to heaven in a spaceship. But what she didn't know, and I didn't know, that there's three heavens that the Word of God speaks about in the Jewish language. There's the first heaven is where the birds fly, where we go out and see the cloud, like clouds. That's where, you know, the air we breathe. That's the first heaven. The second heaven, we know that's where the outer space, that's where we see the moon and the stars, is in the second heaven. Paul says, I've caught up to the third heaven. Well, the third heaven is where God abodes. It's where paradise. He said, one time I was caught up to the third heaven, and verse 4 says, caught up to paradise, same thing. Where God abodes, paradise. Now, you remember that time when they went around the moon before they ever landed, the Russian cosmonaut, because they're all atheists, you know, and they said, you know, I remember this. They said, you know, we went around the moon. He said, I ain't seen God nowhere. That's a statement he made when he went around the moon. I ain't seen God nowhere. You know what? If he'd have stepped out of that spaceship, he'd have found God. He'd have found God, would he not? I guarantee you. Well, we say we got a new atmosphere that we can live in. Not so much we're going to have, but we have right now. Not so much as we're going to heaven, because you know, see, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. There's no power can stop you from going to heaven if you're saved. Because Jesus Christ said, I have all power. He's got the power. He's the one that's going to do this for us, you see, when you're saved. He's the one that saves you. He's the one that keeps you saved. He's the one that's carrying you to heaven. But it's not so much that we go to heaven, because you know what? Is anybody here in doubt that they're not going to heaven? If you know, I'll talk to you about your salvation. But you know, it's not so much as I know that I'm going to heaven, or you know that you're going to heaven, or that we're all going to heaven. But the part of it is we need to understand it's the heaven coming to us right where you're seated at tonight. And the ones that we read out on our prayer list, ones going through difficulties and trials and tribulation, if they would grasp these riches, that heaven comes to them, it comes to us. Heaven. Ephesians 5 times it says in the heavens in this chapter, in this book. 5 times, in the heavens, in the heavens, in the heavens. God says, hello. Hello from heaven in this whole book. He's speaking to us, hello from heaven. Well, that's the introduction to this verse. Now I'm going to tell you about it. It's where believers are. Where believers are. Ephesians 1 and 20. Where believers are. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. There's that phrase again. It's a story about the exaltation of Jesus Christ, God the Father. He was with God the Father in all eternity. The story about reincarnation. Jesus Christ, he was made in a fashion like man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But God has highly exalted him, raised him up, seated him at the right hand. Where's Jesus Christ at tonight? At the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 4:10. Listen. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then where Jesus Christ is, we are. Are you in Christ tonight? Where's Jesus Christ at? Well, where's he seated at? He's seated in heaven. But if Jesus Christ, by the word of God, is seated in heaven, and you're in Christ Jesus, you're seated in heaven also, because Ephesians 2:6, listen, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You kind of getting it now? What God done for Jesus Christ, he does for every one of his children. You know what salvation is? It's Jesus Christ living again in every one of us. What he done for Jesus Christ, he did for you and I spiritually. Where are you at? When he died, we died. When he was buried, we was buried. When he rose again, we rose again with him. Now he's in heavenly places. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principality and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, we're going to go through the rapture. That's going to be literally, that's going to really happen. It's going to be physically, it's going to be a testimony to the angels, the manifold grace of God. It says to these principality and powers in heavenly places to the angels. Remember 1 Peter 3:19-20. Whenever Jesus Christ was in the tomb, and it says, 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prisons. That's the fallen demons, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Jesus Christ went, and it says, preached to the demons, the fallen demons, angels. That word preach really mean make a statement, a proclaim, a proclamation to the fallen demons. Some of them was already in a place called hell. Some of them changed, and we won't even go into that to tell you why they was. But he went and preached to them because, you know what, he made this proclamation and what he said to them. He didn't preach to them they might be chained, because an angel has never been changed once they fall. One third of the host of angels, they become demons and they'll never be redeemed. You see, we got something far above angels, because we will have been redeemed. They will never. That's the reason angels cannot understand the redemption. That's the reason God didn't send angels to witness to people and tell them about salvation. They have never experienced salvation and never will. We do. Made a proclamation. You know what he told them? He says, your plan did not work. 3 days I'm coming out of this tomb. 3 days. And when I do, I'm going to bring the captive, that is the Old Testament saints that died on credit. Paradise was down. Shiloh, abode of the dead. In the Old Testament, when Old Testament saints died, they did not go to heaven. They stayed the abode of the dead. There was, you remember the rich man and Lazarus? Abraham said, a great gulf fixed between us. You can't go. When a lost person in the Old Testament, when they died, they went to a place called hell. See, in our King James Bible, they only have one word for hell, and that's hell. Gehenna. There's several words for hell in the Hebrew and the Greek language, and it tells the abode of the dead. They was down. They was in paradise. Whenever Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving, I'm carrying captive, these captivity, I'm carrying them with me. So when he left and got out of that grave, he carried the Old Testament saints with him. their spirit, and their soul. Now, they won't have a body. They won't have a body. They're not going to have the new body when the rapture comes. Old Testament saints will not. We're the church. We're the bride. That'll be after tribulation time, because there's going to be a second resurrection. Y'all know that. But they're in heaven. That's where paradise, when he says, I called up to the third heaven, Paul says, even paradise, he carried that with him. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 and 17. Y'all know these scriptures. For the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those out there in the cemetery right now, already dead from Christ, from time Christ raised, started the church age, until the rapture. That's when it's in the grave. You and I might be in the grave. Or, you know what it says, which sometimes, where I'm at, 17. It says, then we, might be tonight, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with him. One way or the other, we're going to heaven, either through the grave or through the rapture. Sometimes I get to thinking, you know, I just went out today and looked at my old cemetery. I need to go out and mow around my old cemetery. And I got to thinking, you know, I'll be in that old cemetery in the rapture. I want that field to bust up through that old solid granite rock I got out there. That might be fun, seeing that old rock go flying up, and I come out through there. I'm going to have a new body. But I got to think about this, you know, I don't know. I believe I'd just rather go up in the rapture. Just miss death altogether. But one way or the other, I'm going. One way or other, you know, I'm going. And that's our resurrection. Holy, I ain't going to get through one verse. Where the battles are. Where are you at tonight? And then where the battles are. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, rulers of the darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, you see, our battle of life is really spiritual in nature. Our blessings is spiritual in nature, but our blessings is also spiritual in nature. We'll get into more of this as we get to chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God, you know. But as you think about this in our country, this really helps me, because in our nation today, our politics, the halls of this land, the way people vote and support these people, the Islamic is moving fast. Growth of this against this country, and the thing about it is and the people that's helping them, and people that's is in this country is destroying this country right before our eyes. In fact, I got an article. Franklin Graham preached, this past week at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville. I was gonna read you some statements that he said. He said, well, "America will not turn back." America will not turn back. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Because it's not. We're going to see it for long. I think about it, and I see what's going on. It's Hillary Clinton and that thing that's called a president. All the people support that took a trash in our country. And I got to say, you know what? The warfare, though, is not with them. I got to remember this. It's not with them. They're flesh and blood. That's not where our battle's at. Our battle is spiritual, because if they was changed and the hearts of people was changed, they would elect people and support people and stand on the issues of the Word of God, and we wouldn't have this. Our battles of this country is spiritual. How do you win this? How are we going to fight against what's going on in our nation, in our world? How are we going to fight against it? All this way is on spiritual warfare. Because bombs and bullets, the greatest power of the world, the United States of America, cannot win the battle. It's being forced upon us right now with bullets and bombs. It's going to take a spiritual warfare. The sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God, as we see, you put on the whole armor of God with prayer. And then the third thing. Where believers are, where the battles are, and where the blessings are. And I know I won't have time to go too far into this. In heavenly places. Now, we have counter books from the Old Testament to the New Testament. If you want to understand the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, you'll have to read the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. That is the counterpart. What has happened to the Old Testament draws a picture of what's happening to us in the New Testament. The nation Israel, the Old Testament, Exodus and Leviticus, read Hebrew is what's happened to us. And then if you want a counterpart to this book of Ephesians, it is the book of Joshua. Joshua is a leader of the nation, of their blessings. You know, and the name Joshua is Jesus in the New Testament. Joshua is leading the people, the nation of Israel. Jesus is leading us. It's the counterpart for us to understand our blessings. You see, Joshua led those people, and their blessings was into a land. Jesus Christ is leading us into the Lord. That's where our blessing's at. The Lord Jesus Christ. They had a promised land. We got the promised land also, but it's a heavenly land. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. The realms of earthly things and the realms of heavenly things. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Ephesians 2 and 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At that time, you know, all of us was without Christ. Every one of us in here was without Christ. Y'all remember that? Did you know when you was without Christ, you was without hope? You didn't have a hope. You was without heaven. You was without eternal life. There's a lot of things without. But now you're in Christ. You know, I like to always, from people that accepts the Lord, I like to tell them this. You know, John 6 and 37, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you in? Are you out? Any even a little child, I ask them that same thing. And every time they've told me, they're in. They understand they're in. And I'm probably going to preach on this Sunday. Don't know what it means to be in. They said, I'm in. And that word in Christ is mentioned 150 times in the New Testament. And it shows us about divine sovereignty and also human responsibility. Romans 8 and 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He said, now I've give you Christ. God the Father has give you Christ. His only son. If God would give us his greatest thing would be his son. And if he give you the greatest thing, don't you think all these others will come along with it? Ladies and girls, y'all remember when you got your engagement ring? You got your wedding ring? You know what come along with it? The fuzzy box. The fuzzy box. You got the ring, but you got something else with it. Everything else, you see, all these things that we ask for, wish for, and think for, and hope for here on this life ain't nothing in the world but a little fuzzy box. Because we got the ring. I'm engaged to Jesus Christ. You know, we are his bride. You know, we going to the marriage. Now, all these things on this earth ain't nothing but a little fuzzy box. Don't mean nothing. But what really means is that engagement ring when I said, I do, Jesus Christ. How about you? And you say, I do. You get the lesser is included with the greater. The lesser is included with the greater. Ephesians 1 and 3, and I'll hush. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a blessing. Brother Barry, you got us a song. We're not going to have an invitation, but we're just going to close out with a little word of silent prayer. Thank y'all for bearing with me. I'm going to have to slow down and take it one verse or two.